Well, good morning and happy Mother's Day. Would you pray with me now? Gracious God, we come before you to delve into your word today, your word which is truth, truth for us today, just as it was thousands of years ago when the Apostle Paul wrote it through your inspiration. Open our hearts to hear your word, transform us by it. For it's in Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. All right, well, as we conclude this series on Who Told You That? Five Lies That We're Told to Believe. I did a little research this past week on lies that people tell daily, every day. And I came up with five that were my favorite. And I would like to share those with you right now, beginning with number five. My phone died. When I'm really thinking, I'm screening my calls, right? Number four, yeah, I'm listening. You'll never hear, excuse me, I'm listening. I haven't heard a word that you've said. All right, let's keep in touch. When I'm thinking, you'll never hear from me again. I'm 5 minutes away, and I'm thinking, I haven't even left yet. And then my favorite, I'm fine. When really, I could be any number of things. I could be angry, I could be disappointed, sad, tired, frustrated, overwhelmed, but you'll never know because I'm fine. Today, I would like to speak to the women. Is that okay, girls? I'd like to speak to you today because you know what? Culture, the world, Satan through the world wants us to live this lie. I'm fine. Everything's fine. When in reality, there are times when everything is not fine. Our staff is reading a book by Brené Brown that I just love. I would recommend it to you all. It's called Daring Greatly. And in that book, she talks in particular about the expectations put on women. The expectation to be perfect, to act perfect, to do perfect. But in our being perfect, we must be natural. Not so perfect that we can't come across as natural, right? You get that? In corporate America, be perfect, women. Be perfect. That's the expectation. Be a leader. Be a perfect leader. I don't know how she does that. She makes it look so easy. Be perfect, but don't be a boss or bossy, because if you're bossy, you might get another name tagged to you. Right, girls? Brené Brown really hits the nail on the head because we as women are held to high expectations as women, as wives, as mothers, sisters, employees. We're held to those expectations that are unreasonable at times, but yet we try to live up to them. As we get into God's word, we'll see that everything was not fine for the Apostle Paul either. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like you to open them up now to 2 Corinthians 12. We're only going to deal with four verses, verses 7 through 10. If you don't have a Bible, there may be one in your pew in front of you. Pull that out and go to page 822, I think, for the verses that we're going to be looking at together this morning. Beginning with verse 7, Paul writes, "So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited." Now, what's going on here with Paul? So to keep him from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness. What was he talking about there? Well, I would invite you to go back and read this book of the Bible, this letter from Paul, 2 Corinthians, especially along about chapter 11 and then the first part of chapter 12. You see, Paul had planted churches all over Asia. He was a great apostle. He had done some phenomenal things. But if you back up even further, 14 years earlier than he wrote this letter, God had given him a great revelation, a revelation of what heaven was going to be like. There were some words that were given to him that he could not even utter, my friends. Would that not be enough in and of itself to make him a little prideful, a little conceited about God's blessings on his life? So to keep him from being conceited, God put a thorn, or sent a thorn via Satan. The messenger of Satan actually sent it for harm, is actually what happened. But God's got something else going on here that we'll hear about in just a moment. Now, as I did my research on thorn, my first thought was a thorn is like a little tiny prickly thing on a rose bush, right? That might stick, you might hurt a little bit. Or it could be those little prickly things that you got when you were a kid that you'd step on in the grass or the sand, little spurry things, and they hurt so much and they're hard to get out sometimes. That's not the sense of what the thorn is in this passage. The sense is it's more like a stake that would come alongside a small tree, or either a spear used as a weapon that would go in someone's side or body. Literally, this stake, this spear, this pain that Paul was feeling came straight from hell. Straight from hell. I'm quoting scripture here. It had to be a tremendous pain. Now, what was it? What was this thorn? We don't know. We don't know if it was a physical pain. We don't know if it was an emotional pain, a mental pain. We don't know what it was, but we know that Satan's messenger gave it to him. Wasn't that special? Not. As I thought about this verse and about it being given to Paul so that he wouldn't be conceited, I said, let me think back on my life when I've been prideful about something that was happening. Well, I received the call to become an ordained pastor when I was 52 years old. Second career for me. And so I thought about that time in my life to share with you this morning, because you see, as I left my full-time job and entered college, there was a financial problem. So my thorn was financial. I was going through a tough time. But I didn't want to be vulnerable enough to actually share that pain with people that I knew. Certainly not my church. Certainly not people that I knew closely. Because you see, I even started doubting myself whether or not I was really getting the call to ministry. Would God call me into ministry and then allow this thorn, this financial thorn, to come into my flesh? But I did what a good girl did. I pulled myself up by my bootstraps, put a smile on my face, and went on. One morning, I drove up in the parking lot of my home church, Rehoboth United Methodist Church, over by Columbia Mall, got out of the car, and coming across the parking lot was L.W. Smith. Now, at that time, L.W. Smith was the president of the United Methodist Men. And when he walked up to me, he said, "Faye, open your hand." I went, "What? Open your hand, Faye." And so I opened my hand. He reached in his pocket, and he put a wad of cash in the palm of my hand. And he folded it up like this. And he said, "Take it. Please accept this. We know it has to be a difficult time for you all. In school, you've left your full-time job. Let our church bless you at this time." Well, in a sense, I was forced in that moment to be vulnerable in front of him and ultimately my church, but it was the best thing that could have happened to me, because you know why? Because my God and my Savior showed himself through LW and the people of my church to me. To me. Now, at the end of the day, my thorn had to do with my doubt about my own call to ministry. I don't know what your thorn might be this morning. And maybe some of you don't have a thorn. We've got a huge crowd here. And my prayer for all of you this morning is that this weekend would be such a blessed weekend. This time in your life would be a blessed time with no thorn in your life. But as a woman, as a mama, as a grandmama now, as the pastor, your pastor of congregational care, I know you. I know you. And I've talked to some of you, and I know that some of you have a thorn in your flesh. Everything is not fine. And I don't know what that is. It could be a problem in your marriage right now. It could be a problem with a child that is unruly or has strayed from where you would want that child to be. Maybe you find yourself as even a grandparent helping to raise a grandchild in a season of your life that you didn't think that you would have to do that. There could be some other frustration or pain going on in your life. I don't know what it is, but it's a thorn. It's a thorn. Paul had it too. What did Paul do? Well, what would you do? And what do you do? Do you go to a self-help book down at Books a Million to see, well, let me see if I can get some help about this topic? Or do you talk to maybe a friend or a buddy? Think you might get some help? Well, let's look at what Paul did. Actually, what Paul did is he went to prayer, and he prayed to God three times. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. He didn't say, "God, give me some salve that I can put on this. Lord, how about sending me down a pill that I can pop for this?" He said, "Remove this from me, Lord. Remove this." How do you pray when you've got a thorn in your side? How do you pray? Or do you pray? Do you go to prayer first, as Paul did? Some commentaries say that the three times was illustrative of unceasingly that he prayed. I wondered if maybe, as he was praying to God to remove this, he might have gone on and said, "Well, you know, Lord, I'm planting all these churches around Asia, and I've got a lot of preaching I need to do. You just need to take this from me. Does that sound like us sometimes? I got some stuff to do, Lord. Will you take this thorn from me? But let's look a little closer and see what God had to say to Paul about that thorn. God said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Therefore, Paul says, "I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Let's pause there for a minute. I thought back on my life again, a time when I was very, very weak, weak in my spirit. And I thought about when I was in seminary. In 2002, I filled out my paperwork that fall of 2002 so that I could, January, first week or so in January 2003, I could enter chaplaincy for a semester. It was a requirement of the United Methodist Church, is a requirement. If you're going to be an ordained pastor, you serve a semester as a chaplain. And so I did my paperwork for Palmetto Health, got all that all set up. Well, within a month or two of me submitting my paperwork, in the fall of 2002, my mother became gravely ill. She had been ill for 5 years with dementia, but she took a real nosedive toward the end of that year. And by January 1st, she had gone to Jesus. January 1st, New Year's Day. Here I am on the brink of starting chaplaincy. And I thought to myself, what am I going to do? I had thought that my grief would have been long gone. I had grieved for 5 years before she actually died. But the grief was so intense. After she died, I felt somebody had socked me in the stomach and knocked the breath out of me. I was afraid to tell my supervisor or my small group at the hospital that Mama had died, because I was afraid that if I did, they would go, "You can't do this right now. You can't be a chaplain right now." So you know what I did? I tucked it. I tucked it down and I said nothing to anybody there at the hospital. But I gotta tell you, every single time I walked into a hospital room and there was a sweet little lady lying there, I could see my mama. Everything was not fine with me. It was so painful. But I tucked it down and, like a good girl, put a smile on my face, went back to my small group, and we talked about my visit without me sharing a word. 3 months go by. 3 months. We're well into March. One morning, my supervisor calls me in. "Fay, I need to talk to you." I said, "Okay." I sit down. And she said, "Guess who I saw last night?" And I said, "Who?" "Well, I saw Judy Rose, one of your friends at Rehoboth United Methodist Church." And you know what she said? She said, "Sure is sad about Faye's mama passing away on New Year's Day. How is she doing?" I was busted. I was busted. Again, forced to be vulnerable and deal with it. She said, Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you share that with us?" I said, "I was scared. I was scared y'all wouldn't let me do chaplaincy and I couldn't continue on to become a pastor." She was so full of grace. Again, the best thing that could have possibly happened to me at that juncture, because as I traveled that journey for that 6 months as a chaplain, I had the supervision to help me. I had my small group. that I sat with at the end of the day that helped me work through my grief as well. When have you been weak? When have you, as women, had to pretend that nothing was wrong when it really and truly is? Jesus said, that his grace was sufficient. His grace was sufficient. When we are weak, we can be strong in the Lord. I know that now. My friends, pain is present. Pain is present. It might not be present at this moment with you, but at some point in your life, you're going to deal with pain of some sort. Pain can have a purpose. It really can. God was using Paul's pain in a way that God would be glorified. I thought about Jesus in the garden. Jesus prayed 3 times. Lord, take this cup from me. Lord, take this cup from me. Lord, take this cup from me, but not my will, your will be done. And so Jesus is a beautiful model for us to know that even though we're suffering, God's will can work through us. What's grace? Grace is when the Lord's love and compassion and caring for us is there for us when we get up in the morning, throughout the day, at night, and in every aspect of our lives. That's what His grace is. And it can be sufficient if you rely on Him. I would ask you today, this morning, what kind of grace do you need in your life now? Do you need saving grace? Is there someone here this morning that's not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior? Don't wait another minute. Don't leave this place without accepting Him into your heart. Maybe you need persevering grace today. Maybe you're just going through a short period of time and you need God's grace to come and be with you and sustain you for this rough spot that you're in. Maybe you need strengthening grace. Through my journey, I've come to love the scripture from Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Please say that with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have it on my keychain. I look at it every single day. And it reminds me that my Lord is my hope. Do you need that hopeful grace today? Do you need to live in that hope even in the midst of a thorn being in your side? Now, I'm still working on it. And I'm working on being able to say unequivocally that I can brag about my weaknesses. That I can always brag about my weaknesses. For when I am weak, I am strong. As we come to the end of this service, I'd like to do something this morning as your pastor. Women, I would love to bless you and pray over you. I would like that more than anything. And as Jack comes, where are you, Jack? I hope you're nearby somewhere. As he comes to lead us in that closing hymn, Love Lifted Me, would you come? Women, would you come? I know we've got a great crowd. We had a great crowd at 9 o'clock too. Please come. Come here. Come here to this altar. Would you do that so I can bless you, so that I can pray over you? I love you. I love every one of you. You are so precious to me. I'm going to be praying two ways today, and it'll be the benediction after we sing this song together. I'm going to pray for those of you that are in a good place right now. And I hope you'll pray with me to praise God for that. It's wonderful to be in a good place and not have a thorn. And you can truly say, everything's fine. Everything really is fine. But I know in my heart of hearts that there are some of you out there that have a thorn, just as I have had. And you need a prayer. You need me to pray for you and over you that God will give you His grace that will be sufficient for you, whatever kind of grace you need. So Jack, lead us, and I'm going to pray silently, and then I'm going to pray out loud for all of us. I love you.